this philosophy was taught specifically for one student. That one student was very powerful. And being very powerful is both a gift and a curse. So if I'm a very powerful being, that means I've got a lot of energy, right? So what I want really bad. And what I'm passionate about really bad. Whether it's good or bad, something I want, I've got a lot of power to go after it. It's just a strong engine. So if you've got someone with a really strong engine and they've got the habit to be doubtful, then strong energy into doubt, right? So a good ability to doubt everything. And Sifu was about to leave Australia and to kind of give us something to train what if he left. He said, all right, this philosophy is called the 10 Wisdom Trust. And it was specifically for Red Bull because Red Bull was full of blind doubt. So Sifu was like, all right, rather than following that blind doubt and trying to shut them down as they appear, bang, follow this. And he explained 10 Wisdom Trust. And the 10 Wisdom Trust is 10 levels of philosophy that actually each one smashes any doubt you can possibly have, right? So you think about the things you normally doubt, like, oh, I don't know if I trust it, or I don't know if I can trust them or that or this or that person. And we are so good at creating weird doubt in so many ways. We're like artists, black belts in negative BS in our mind, right? So the first level of the 10 Wisdom Trust is
causation.
Do you know why that's the first one?
Is it so that you understand like the system of life? Because it's causation is eternal truth, so you can't doubt causation.
If you deeply observe causation, and you'll see that philosophy itself is perfect and eternal. I can't. My logic doesn't have the power to doubt causation. And even if I did have the power to doubt causation, what am I going to come up with that's a better philosophy than causation? I got nothing. Like, I have nothing. So, logically, if I'm a wise, sharp, smart consciousness, even a little bit humble, maybe a little bit in tune with what's going on around me, and I read that causation wisdom, already all my doubts should shut up and go away. Because they can't write causation. They don't have that wisdom. My doubt has nothing but nonsense compared to causation wisdom. So, as soon as we read causation, technically our doubt should be like, I'll just shut up now. I'll just go back to this little rock I've been hiding under. So, causation, number one, because it's perfect, eternal, it explains a system and it gives us something to learn and develop towards. And if we want an ability to appear, it has to appear through cause and effect.
So I've got another question about doubt.
Awesome.
So usually when I doubt something, I don't, so like causation for example, the logical part of my brain can understand it, but sometimes there's like emotional doubt. Like, so it's not, I know that logically this makes sense, but part of you is still like,
I'm not sold.
Yeah, I don't want to say that because it's not like it's something for sale, but like kind of that.
No, I get that.
So it's like there's like the two parts of your brain. There's the rational thinking, and then there's the more like, yeah, intuitive, emotional thinking. And it's like one side of my mind somehow, like, is more prone to doubt.
Yeah. So there's how many stages of learning? Understand by mind. Sorry, remember by mind. Understand by mind.
Remember by heart.
Understand
by heart.
You haven't reached that.
Yeah.
So your mind gets it, and your heart sort of understands it, but doesn't quite fully catch it.
Yeah.
So your mind and your heart are in an argument.
Okay.
And we call that contradiction.
Yeah.
And as what Buddha called us is called combination life form. We are always being mixed by this opinion, that feeling, that desire, all together. I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. So my energy gets scattered. One part of me might want to be super ripped and massive, and the other part wants to be super flexible and good at kung fu.
Mm.
They're complete opposing goals.
Mm.
So while my consciousness is trapped and has contradiction between what it wants, I will never really be good at either.
Mm.
I'll be trapped in the middle of both. So that until we learn to purify each chakra and get them all working as one line, that's when it's called sincere heart. At the moment, we're blind in contradiction.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yep.
Very good question. Very good question. Okay, so first of 10 Wisdom Trust is causation, all right? Can anyone get what the second one would be?
Main cause.
Main cause. Do you remember why that is the second one?
Because once you understand causation, you then understand that you are your own main cause.
Great, there's this perfect system of causation. There it is over there. That perfect circle of cause and effect. That's the system. And now I need to know, what's it got to do with me? And the thing is, your whole life, all the appearing form, everything you're aware of is changing. Everything constantly changes. It's just a mess of change. Do you know the one constant? The one thing that's always there? Your whole life, from a little kid till now, you've been this little kid dealing with school, family, job, going out into the world, partying, socializing. It's all constantly changing. Everything, right? What's the one thing that is always there? I am always there making decisions and experiencing it. That's the main cause. Whoever's there riding that change, you can argue all you want. Oh, you don't know that. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's always changing. What's the point? How do I know that everything's always changing? I'm always there making decisions. I'm always there going, I'm going to jig school or I'm going to go to school. I make the choice. Olaf can be like, Sean, don't you want to come and jig school and go to the movies? And I can be like, oh my God, I don't want to. But if I don't choose to follow him, I don't go. I don't see that illusion. I see the illusion I choose. So main cause is the choice. And that's how we guide causation. So that's why it's the second level, because I've got this perfect system. And the only way that it matters to me is that I have a chance to guide my life. And that's what that wisdom teaches. Main cause is my ability to guide my life, guide causation. Cool?
Yeah.
So causation and main cause. Okay. It's a cool kickoff, right? It's deep, right? So now you like go back to the beginning. Any doubt you had, like, this isn't possible. Life can't be that deep. And then you hear causation and you're like, oh, I'll just shut up now. And then main cause. Okay, so causation is observable in real life, meaning it cuts out any need for blind belief, meaning it cuts out any doubt. That's why it's a wisdom trust. Because we can observe causation. You can observe it till there's no room to argue with it. Tell me one thing that appears in life that had no cause and effect behind it. Go and rack your brains for days, weeks, years. Come back in a year and tell me if you found one. This wisdom was true thousands of years ago without microscopes and scientific. Buddha just observed and said, right, this is a cause and effect. This is how the whole universe works. So that wisdom was true then, it's true now, it'll be true in another 2,000 years, it'll be true for eternity. That's what makes it an eternal truth. That's what makes it perfect logic. So because there's a system, we have something to learn. The system is called cause and effect. By being aware of that and observing it from my heart, I can clear out all my own doubt about it because I can see clearly it's logic. So all doubt goes away and now I have a wisdom trust where I'm trusting through observing. And wisdom. It's not like here, trust me, this magical coin will get you into heaven, right? Yeah, he's got no way to test that. He's got no way to prove that. He's not going to know I was lying until he gets there and there's no coin slot. It's a show. Yeah, we're all tapping past now. So we now know everything's cause and effect. How do I guide my life through cause and effect? Main cause. So causation without main cause, I still don't have anything to learn for myself. The system's causation, that's great, but it's until you explain main cause, my main intention is how I guide my life, then it becomes something I need to take responsibility. Oh, I've got to learn now. If my main cause is creating all this causation, I've got to learn how to guide my main cause. Causation is just the system. It's like a race car track. How I choose to drive on that track is my responsibility. So main cause means I have to learn to observe my intention. And the third one is? Life is illusion. Do you remember why that one's what that means? Why is life illusion?
I think it's because other than consciousness, everything else is an illusion. Isn't it all the appearing forms are constantly changing?
They are.
Is that related to life is illusion?
Well, yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, look, that looks like my iPhone. But what looks like one iPhone is actually millions of parts put together. And those millions of parts are millions of atoms, and those millions of atoms are billions of quarks, and those billions of quarks come from something else. And in essence, that phone's not really there. That phone and my body are the exact same essence, but they appear so differently with different functions. So the definition of illusion is what appears is not what's really underneath. So yes, that is illusion. All the appearing form is illusion. But you said something else that didn't quite make sense.
Apart from, well, consciousness and illusion are like two sides of one coin, right?
So you're saying consciousness isn't an illusion?
Well, I'm saying that... No, sorry. all the appearing forms...
Of Dharma.
Yeah. Of Dharma.
Are constantly changing.
Is one side, and then the other side is consciousness, right?
Yeah.
And you need one to be aware of the other.
Yeah.
And one can't exist without the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... If that's the case, then Is consciousness an illusion?
I can't. Where is it? It's definitely here. We're using it, but I can't find it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's an illusion just because you can't find it.
Well,
it?
I can't see what it is, but it's there. We're definitely using it right now to talk and be aware of each other. So that exists in an illusion way. So in Buddhism, they use the sentence, life is illusion, meaning both sides of that piece of paper are both illusion. One is an illusion as you can see it, you can be aware of it, but in essence, that's not what it really is. And the other one's illusion in the sense that it's always there. We're always using it, but I can't find it. I've lived with all those fears. I still can't find his consciousness. I don't think he has one, but he always pays attention to me. I'm super confused. So they say life is like an illusion. And if you say life is illusion, then everything that's a part of life falls into that category. So whether it's appearing form or appearing like different things, but the essence is the same, that's one type of illusion. And the other side of the piece of paper is something with no form that's aware of all the illusion. Of course, that's another illusion. It's like two different types. It's quite deep, actually, right? So life is illusion because no matter which way you look at it, which way isn't it an illusion? How are you going to, what are you going to grab and say, that's life right there, that thing there, that's it? No, oh, the moment's gone. Time keeps on slipping away.
So you can say consciousness is an illusion.
100%. It's one of the coolest, most mystical, abstract illusions out. Yeah. We still don't even understand it.
Yeah.
So definitely you can say consciousness is illusion.
Okay.
And you can also say all the appearing form is an illusion.
Mm.
So on both sides, life is illusion. And you know why that ties to main cause? So think about your life before you started learning all this. Back to our past blindness drama. Life seemed one way, right? And that was all we understood of life. And now we learn some wisdom and life changes a lot, right? Was that real life or is this real life? Which one's not illusion? Which one is illusion?
Both illusions.
Both illusion. It's the ability of life to keep changing and never stay still. That's what makes it a beautiful, like, crazy powerful illusion. And our ability to be aware of it and make choices to change our life, we can recreate that illusion. So to say it's an illusion means it's awesome. Because if it was an illusion, think of the most suffering you've ever had in your life. If life was an illusion, you're stuck there. Never change it. That sucks, right? No one wants that. It's only because it's an illusion. Oh, I can change it. I can be a little bit more healthy, do a few cardio classes, do some yoga, and I feel better. So life becomes a more positive illusion. So the fact that it's an illusion just means it's changing and it's abstract and it can keep moving and changing. The fact that it's illusion is not a bad thing. If it was an illusion, everything would be so boring. It's only because it's all changing that it can exist. But if I said, stop changing, Olaf, stop it. I can feel your heart beating, stop it. Right? Change is what allows us to exist and be alive. It's only when we have negative, we think illusion's bad. We've been tricked. Ah, I fell for the illusion. But the ability to learn and then recreate the illusion again, that's beautiful. So main cause is how we change the illusion. Causation, main cause, life is illusion. So with those three wisdoms, you can create any life you want. All you need to do is develop the wisdom, ability to create that cause and effect. You can have any life you want. Or you don't realize what causation is, you don't understand main cause, and you don't realize life is illusion, and you just get pushed into what everyone else wants of you. You don't make choices. Life's quite perfect like that. It tests everyone equally. All the time, we're all getting tested. Think about the tests you went through as a little kid, starting a new school, making new friends, getting your first job, getting your license, and now the tests you face. Now it's big stuff like move house, pay taxes, talk about global warming, do Sudoku puzzles. Like, it's crazy now. As adults, it's much harder. But the tests we pass now, as kids, we'd break. You couldn't handle it. As little kids, you can't handle the tests you handle now. That's because life went, here, Sean, you're a little kid, a little bit naive, have this test. Yes, someone stole your favorite toy. And now you're in trouble by the teacher. Little tests. And now as an adult, it's like, you can deal with more. You got to run a business. You got to look after your health. You got to go and work Christmas parties and not get lost. Much more challenging. Do you want to know the next one?
I think I can remember from what you said.
Okay.
So those lead up to the fact that we have the power to drive our life or drive the illusion.
Influence.
Influence
causation, yeah.
So, but to do that, you need discipline.
Ooh. Oh, there's a the philosophy is actually called Wisdom Doubt versus Wisdom Trust.
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you want to know what a wisdom doubt is? So you can either trust your wisdom or doubt your wisdom. And both systems lead you to develop more wisdom. Wisdom doubt, through practice, you take time to figure out your own blind characters and doubt them. Come up with 10 as a minimum and observe them from every angle you can, using all your philosophy inside of you until you have no more doubt. For example, I can observe my own lack of self-confidence about what other people feel towards me. This comes from my blind doubt, blind worry, and blind fear. So instead of following my blind feelings, I can choose to create using wisdom, and I can create kindness and care, joy and free. So I don't just follow the blindness, I actually create a positive one, right? Through wisdom. If my heart is deeply aware that life is illusion, in theory, I won't take it so seriously. So if I lose something that's valuable and I'm like, well, it's just an illusion, it doesn't matter, who cares? But if I take life as really seriously and I lose that same thing, I'm like, oh, I get so stressed out and in pain. Oh, I lost my thing that was expensive or whatever, right? So the ability to see life as an illusion takes away a lot of the suffering. If from heart you see life as illusion. But if from mind you just remember life as illusion and then you get a parking ticket and you flip out and fall to pieces over $100, truly your heart didn't really see life was an illusion. Didn't really see the true temporary nature of things. So you take that loss as very seriously. We hold on to things. Whereas if you see life as an illusion, it's going to change anyway. The idea of holding doesn't make any sense anyway. Catch my drift? So discipline is to remain aware life is illusion in every presence, so you don't fall into the blindness every time. Every moment is another moment to be aware life is illusion. But our habit isn't to be aware of life is illusion. Our habit is to be aware of life is serious. I have to succeed. I have to get everything done, and I have to match my parents' expectations, and I have to be successful, and I have to run a business, and I have to be an adult, right? Life is an illusion is to remind us, actually, all that shit doesn't matter. What really matters is your physical health, your consciousness development, your ability to release suffering, and your ability to live in discipline to not create suffering. So truly, if your heart remains aware life is illusion, you need to practice with discipline being aware of that in every moment.
Can you repeat that last bit you said?
So if life is a constantly changing illusion, the discipline is in being able to remain aware of that in every moment.
Yes.
Because whatever you connect to, you become that, right? So if I connect to my greed, I become greedy. But if I connect to wisdom, I become wise. If I connected the wisdom that life is illusion, then my heart will see through greed. There's nothing to be greedy for, and there's nothing to hold. So remain aware that by remaining in the discipline to be aware life is illusion, that's what number four is. It takes a lot of discipline to remain aware. Even to have Daniel Power from foot, center straight, no tension in the shoulders. That's hard, right? In every moment to do that, while you're even doing a Tai Chi form, is so hard. And that's how we practice. That's how we train. Our consciousness is learning to follow a new wise habit instead of me, yay, Tai Chi. Blind habit is more natural to us. So we're building discipline to follow wisdom. So the more times a day you can read philosophy, bow, connect to observing wisdom, then you're practicing that discipline of seeing through life is illusion. But if you've got this much of a day, right, and you spend the whole thing chasing career ambition, money, whatever, and you spend the whole day running around searching for something, and you spend the whole day not developing any wisdom, you have not practiced life is illusion and made a discipline to observe that once that day, right? But if that whole day you remain aware life is illusion, the whole thing, yeah, up and down, it's a great day. It's chilled. But if every day you remain like you take life as serious and you have to get so much done and you never finish all the things you have to do, you stay stressed. So wisdom takes relieves stress, blindness adds stress. Does that make sense? So if you're super high intense trying to get everything done in a day because life is serious and I have to make all this stuff happen, that's stressful. But if I remain aware life is illusion, and I just enjoy observing the illusion and enjoy creating something wise in that illusion, that's a much more relaxed, enjoyable day.
sometimes it's really difficult when, like, to see that life is illusion.
Mm.
I know, like, little practical ways to practice to remember that life is illusion, but sometimes it's, like, not
easy.
Not easy at all.
No.
Not easy at all.
No.
So how can you, or give an example, or...
Practical ways of observing.
Yeah, really simple, practical ways.
How many stages of learning are there?
Five.
So there's six levels to learning. Right now, we are learning to be aware from mind. We are remembering by mind and understanding by mind that life is illusion. Our heart has not yet observed that wisdom. So when everything's feeling hard to remain aware life is illusion, that's because our heart is telling us, this is real. And it's a very real illusion. It's a sixth sense illusion. It looks real, it sounds real, it smells real, it tastes real, it feels very real, and it makes us think in a certain real... You think it's real. It's very real. So it's obvious. It's a good trick. It's really well done. It's a really clever illusion. So in those moments when you're wigging out and you want to try and remind yourself life is illusion, if you're in an emotional state, it's hard, because it's like if I've got a cup and I've got a lot of water in it and I put dirt in it, right? And I stir that cup up, am I going to see clear water while I'm stirring it? So our emotion and our anger is like stirring the water. You can't see anything clearly. Everything's just muddy, dirty water. And the more I think and try to stir it up even more. I'm going to solve this problem by thinking about it. It just gets more crazy, right? So one level is to distract yourself. Do something different. Cold shower, acupuncture, release tension. Get someone to stand on you. Do some Tai Chi. Get outside, go for a walk, jump in the ocean. Something to change up your energy. Go to the gym, anything. Distract yourself, okay? Because that'll begin you stop stirring this water. At least stop stirring it. Let it settle. And then try to create that calm, peaceful feeling. And one system I like to do is I lie down flat on the ground and I try to observe, all right, where am I? Which part of this is me? What am I aware of that's me? Because everything I'm aware of is illusion. I'm aware of the oxygen in and out of my body. I'm like, all right, well, the oxygen's not me. So wherever the oxygen, whatever I'm aware of, that's not me. Where am I? Where do I begin and where does my body stop? And when you do that long enough, you actually lose yourself in that little, oh, I don't know where I am. That's just one way. Try and create, like, observe something real and you can remind yourself, oh, wow, life is an illusion. I don't even know where I am. I don't even know where I exist. I only feel that I am this body because I connect to this body. But when you do that meditation enough, you can connect to different space, different visions, and you'll realize, oh, this body is not me. This space is not me. I'm not trapped here. Life is an illusion. So this space, this problem, all temporary. Even if you wanted to make that problem stay forever, you can't. It'll change and it'll go away and you'll have a whole new set of problems. So the idea of being worried that we can't change that feeling almost doesn't make sense, because even if I wanted it to stay, I can't make it stay. Does that make sense?
The one that it's like, I struggle a lot. Like, you're aware that life is illusion, but still hurts. I know that life is illusion, but...
It can still be a painful illusion. And that's from past blindness and subconscious blindness. We keep recreating that seed in our heart that makes it painful. Actually, it doesn't need to be painful. It's only because we have blind fear and holding habit that it makes it fearful. Like, some of the most... like stressful, frustrating things I've had happen in my life, that feeling can build up like, oh, such a painful illusion. And I end up just blocking everything out, cutting off all connections and going back to, all right, it's just me and illusion now, and I've got enough wisdom to observe, and I just observe wisdom. And when I observe wisdom, all the suffering goes away. But when I connect back to my normal Sean identity, the suffering comes back. So it's like Sean, blind ego Sean, creates all that suffering. But observing ability, if I observe wisdom, the suffering like goes away. Like if I'm in a dark room and I turn the light on, right away darkness is gone. Same with blindness. If your heart is observing wisdom, pure observing wisdom, and you connect to that wisdom, you'll feel joy from that wisdom. The suffering will all just disappear straight away. But we often observe wisdom while we're in suffering with our ego, like, yeah, yeah, what are you feeling? we kind of half like phone it in the observing, and it ends up being just a mental game, and we don't connect from here, and that's when it doesn't quite work. But it's still practice. You got to go through that stage, and eventually you'll get better and better, and you'll start building one philosophy or one idea that you can connect to, and it creates joy for you straight away, and that becomes your center, and you build on that. So it's not until you've had... Have you had Dharma joy from any ideas, any wisdom? Yeah. Which ones have you had Dharma joy from the most?
Just before, you were saying about explaining the first three wisdom trolls, it was like a lot of Dharma joy.
Okay. Yeah. Can you remember what made that feeling and connect to it again?
Yeah.
It's quite easy?
Yes.
So the more you do that, it becomes like a gateway. And so even when you're in that horrible state, you observe that. Oh, okay. And you use that moment to observe the situation. And the more of those little gateways you build up, the stronger they get and they join together. And it's no longer just a little nice feeling. It actually becomes this one, this one, this one all joined together to create a really strong feeling of, oh. Does that make sense?
How do you create discipline?
What is discipline first? So what's the difference between a habit and a discipline? Okay, the difference between a habit and a discipline. Habits appear blindly. We don't mean to. Biting my nails, blind habit. I was nervous, I bit my nails. Then someone says, you need to put a new discipline. Don't bite your nails. I'm like, huh. So discipline is through wisdom. We choose to make a new discipline. But a habit is something we do automatically. Smoking, blind habit. I'm going to be disciplined. I'm not going to smoke anymore. All right?
But people chose to do that originally.
Yeah. But now they want to stop. So, the habit's automatic there.
Yeah, but biting your nails, no, like most people who start doing that would do it subconsciously, whereas people who start smoking, they didn't subconsciously do it. They actively chose to for the first cigarette.
Yeah, well,
drinking is the same.
It gets more complicated than that, because if my friends all influence me to do something and I choose to do it through a subconscious feeling of have to, I chose to by subconscious.
But you're still your own main cause.
Totally. But it's so automatic, like we don't choose to do everything that clearly just because we're not aware of how our intentions appear and we're not really wise enough to observe them and purify them, doesn't mean it's not a it's still a choice.
Like a habit to worry, that could be a habit.
Blind habit, yeah, 100% okay. Blind habit, very strong blind habit. Yeah. You know, almost everyone has it. So the habit could be I worry, and when I have worry, so then I build a new discipline. All right, whenever I catch myself worrying, I'm going to charge my center. Right, and that way that habit to worry, every time I catch myself, charge my center. So I turn a blind habit into a wise discipline. And now, after a year of dealing with blind worry, I've also got a supercharged center. Because I worry so much. I turn my negative into my positive through discipline.
But can't discipline be used in a negative direction? 100%. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, discipline doesn't have to go.
So like every direction. Time you worry, you smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, bad, terrible. Oh no, what are you doing?
Or eat chocolate.
Yeah, but that's more of a habit direction, because a discipline is more something you choose to implement and put in place because you're raising a standard, so it's not normally easy at first. If you understand the value of why you're doing something, you'll want to do it. Your heart will be like, oh, I got to do that for all these reasons. But it's when we don't truly understand the value, we go, I should stretch every day. I should stretch, right? It's from here, there's a little bit of passion there, but it's not like... But if I was like... I need to get more flexible. I'm going to stretch every day because I enjoy the whole process. So if you deeply understand what you want and how to create it, and you understand all the wisdom to make it real, those disciplines will be joyful inclusions in your life. So for me, I put bowing, try to bow every day, or write my book every day, because it takes me out of my normal searching character. So it becomes a joyful discipline to follow. But if someone else says to me, oh, you have to film a video and upload it every day for Tai Chi, and someone else puts that on me and I don't understand the reason, the value, I won't have as much discipline for it. I won't have as much passion, you know what I mean? So my advice, if you're implementing new discipline, observe why that discipline is something you want in your life, and observe it from many angles so your heart is so sure of it and you get joy from the idea of what it's going to create for your future, that it just more energy into it. Another trick, a more shortcut one, is if you've got a discipline you want to put into your life and you want to make sure you do it every day, tack it on the end of something you already do every day. So for me, bowing every day, brush my teeth. As soon as I walk out, I bow. Because I know I'm going to brush my teeth. Like, I'm not savage. Brushing my teeth. Come on. So as soon as I brush my teeth and I walk out, I'm like, and there's a second discipline that goes right into that. So if you can tack them together with stuff that you know you're going to do because it's already in your discipline routine, then it's easier to throw another one on the end. You want to give an example?
Well, just like a follow-on with creating disciplines, like, see, observing why is a good one, but also I'm trying to bow every day, and with that discipline at the start, honestly, it was just do it.
Forbearance.
Not forbearance, no, not at all. It's just
don't let, getting into don't let, just make it an action.
Doing, yeah,
action.
Just do it.
Intention, thinking, speaking, yeah. Action. And our intention might be to have that action every day, but our thinking and speaking will talk us out of it.
Yeah. Good at that.
So then rather than letting that happen, just cut it out and make it happen. Just no more excuses. Then, just do it.
Yeah, and then over time, what to do, it becomes like...
You start thinking and speaking in support of that discipline.
Yeah.
Because you remember the joy you get from that discipline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your thinking and speaking will shift. So we learn by action.
Mm.
We're that level. We're not at that level where I can tell you, you should have four eternal heart intention. And you go, oh, dung, from in to out. We don't learn like that. I've got to sit there and we've got to be like, oh, so we're going to do this philosophy. We've got to have a straight turn, right? So you go, stand straight, powerful foot. We learn by practicing these big goofy moves until they become more subconscious. And then we move fast with those big moves and they become small moves, right? So we start training our action to learn about our thinking, speaking, and intention. We learn the other way. Another practical example? Yeah.
Mm. As Valerie is like, just do it. But then, as Sean says, like, you start thinking about it and speaking and talking yourself out of it. As soon as that thought pops out, just say 3, 2, 1 and go. Like, speaking to yourself, like, you caught one speaking and you put it into, like, do it. Like, 3, 2, 1.
That's like a discipline within a discipline. Yeah. Like,
and that will maybe... Shush the voice that is telling you not to do.
So we've got the just do it.
Yeah.
And if your voice starts up, 3, 2, 1, just do it. And tack it on the end of something you already have as a discipline. So that's 4 of 10. It's pretty cool, right? It's pretty deep. You've got to realize that you're building a new discipline. You don't just go, yeah, and that's a discipline now.
Yeah.
If it was that easy, we'd be so high level. In building a discipline, you... are going to accept that you're not perfect at it yet. Once it becomes perfect, then it's no longer a discipline. It's a habit. It's a wise habit that we've set and it's in our heart automatically there.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, we're building a discipline. Give yourself a bit of... Relax, these things take time. Patience. You can't like build too many disciplines too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If I read to you the discipline level of a Bodhisattva, there's 10 levels of Bodhisattva. Even the first one is ridiculous. Like for us... to not go backwards is high level already.
Mm-hmm.
For us to not actually drop in level, that's already good for human. For Bodhisattva, if there's even one moment where they're not developing more or helping someone else develop or observing more and raising their own level, that's called backwards. One moment of not going higher is backwards for them. You can give me a year and if I don't drop back at all, I'm like, yes. If I don't drop back in a full year, I'm like, yeah, that was a good year.
You start the year and then you ended on the same level.
I'm sweet. Because so much of our society is pushing us away from what we're pushing towards. So for us to be able to not go backwards in this space means we have the power to not get influenced by all that blind causation. But for a Bodhisattva, they're way higher. So their standard discipline is way higher. Like there's one that if they... It's called double kindness, is this wisdom. And it's not only do I walk around observing every opportunity to be kind, but I see a moment where, oh, I can be kind and help Daniel. And then not only do I enjoy that being kind, but I appreciate the opportunity appeared for me to be kind. That's double kindness. And if they even feel a little bit of, oh, I was kind, out, straight away out. That's like you've dropped, bang, get back. You're not a Bodhisattva anymore. You're back in suffering land. So... be patient with your disciplines,
mm-hmm.
make them realistic, make them practical, and remember why you're implementing that discipline so that you have passion to do it. And when the time comes to do it, just shut up and do it.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
And if if your voices start, 1, 2, 3, go.
And then after brush my teeth and then start with Chenkun.
Start with Chenkun. Nice.
Love this.
Cool. 10 Wisdom Trusts. You've got the first 4 steps towards... a perfect system that leads to one of the best systems. Siddhartha Buddha said, at this time on the earth, the Amitabha Buddha system would be the best system to learn. And that 10 wisdom trusts, we've done the first four steps towards understanding that Amitabha Buddha system. So, yay!